بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. الحمد لله. My respected brothers and elders, last week we started the chapter which Imam Nawawi رحمة الله عليه titled باب فضل ضعفة المسلمين, the chapter which talks about the virtues and the value of the weaker Muslims in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those who society may deem weak, society may look down upon, they may not value. So in this chapter, which is a very long chapter, Imam An-Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi brings many ahadith to tell us or to stress to us the importance of always being humble, not thinking ourselves to be better than other people, always regarding every other Muslim, even a non-Muslim, to be better than myself. The only difference between me and a non-Muslim is that Allah has given me iman. But can I guarantee that I will die upon iman? I have no guarantee that I can die upon iman. So still, I have no virtue over someone who is not a Muslim. Till death, before I die, I cannot say I am better than even someone who Allah has not granted iman to. And somebody else who Allah has given iman to, I should always regard them as better than me, all times. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu would always say, I wish I was the hair on the body of a mu'min. I wish I was the hair on the body of a true mu'min, true believer. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. So this is tawadu, when a person feels that I am nothing. So this chapter, many, many ahadith, Imam An-Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi has brought to emphasize this point. So the next hadith is mentioned by Sayyidina Abu Sa'id al-Khudri radiallahu anhu, first hadith of today. He mentions, عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال, رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said, احتجت الجنة والنار. رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said that Jannah and Jahannam had an argument with each other. Jannah and Jahannam had an argument, jagra, with each other. So if someone can ask the question straight away, how can Jannah and Jahannam have an argument? They're not human beings, they're not jinns, they're not angels. How can they have an argument? Remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in another world can make them have this argument. Remember, all of these things, even our good deeds that we do in this world, will have a form on the Day of Judgment. So Jannah and Jahannam, for Allah ta'ala to put life in them is not impossible. Allah is a creator of life. So Jannah and Jahannam had an argument with each other. Other ulama say that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving an example. But it's not impossible to assume that Jannah and Jahannam can actually speak to each other if Allah ta'ala wills them to. It's like in the Quran, Allah ta'ala says, إِنَّهُ كَانَ ظَلُومًا جَهُولًا. What's the ayat before that? إِنَّهُ كَانَ ظَلُومًا. That when Allah ta'ala wanted to give this deen, the Quran, and he wanted to reveal it, and he asked the mountains, he asked the heavens, he asked the earth, nobody wanted to take the responsibility. So everything, Allah has given some form of life. Nobody wanted to take responsibility. Only insan took responsibility. And then Allah says, insan is zalum and jahul. Insan is oppressive and insan is ignorant, but still insan was courageous enough to take the responsibility of bearing the revelation, the wahi. So Allah can give life. So Jannah and Jahannam are having a dispute and an argument with each other. فَقَالَتِ النَّارِ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that the fire of Jahannam, it spoke and it said, فِيَّ الْجَبَّارُونَ وَالْمُتَكَبِّرُونَ. Inside of me are the tyrants, the oppressors. وَالْمُتَكَبِّرُونَ, and those who have pride, those who are boastful, who are arrogant, who are full of themselves. وَقَالَتِ الْجَنَّةُ, and Jannat responded by saying, فِيَّ ضُعَفَاءُ النَّاسِ وَمَسَاكِينُهُمْ. That inside of me are the weak people and the poor people. So from this straight away we understand that majority of the people of Jahannam are going to be people who have takabbur, pride, people who think that they are better than other people. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a person who has even a small atom weight of kibar inside of their heart will not go to Jannah. It's like when you're passing through airport security and you have metal detectors and you go through, even if you have liquid water, it stops you. If you have a small bit of kibar in my heart, can make kisi aur se behtar hoon. I am better than somebody else, anybody else. This person will not go to Jannah. He will have to go first to Jahannam. So majority of the people of Jahannam are going to be people jinke dil ke andar gurur, takabbur, that they have pride inside in themselves. And majority of the people of Jannah are going to be weak people, kamzor log, jinko dunya ke andar log unki taraf jaankte bhi nahi, dekhte bhi nahi the. People who incited this world, people would not even look towards, they would not even give any kind of respect to. These are the people, majority of these people will be the people of Jannah. So Jannah said, inside of me are the weak people and the poor people. فَقَضَ اللَّهُ بَيْنَهُمَا. So basically both of them were saying, Jahannam is saying, I am better because all of the people who are powerful in the dunya, who had pride, they are all in me. And Jannah is saying, I am better because the people with tawadu, with humility, humbleness in the dunya, they are in me. So Allah Ta'ala فَقَضَ اللَّهُ بَيْنَهُمَا. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala resolved their dispute. Allah settled their disagreement. أَنَّكَ رَحْمَتِي أَرْحَمُ بِكِ مَنْ أَشَاءُ. Allah Ta'ala said, O Jannah, you are my rahmah, you are my mercy. With you, I will show mercy to whoever I want. وَأَنَّكِ النَّارَ عَذَابِي. And O you, O fire of Jahannam, you are my adab, you are my anger. Through you, أُعَذِّبُ بِكِ مَنْ أَشَاءُ. I will punish with you anyone that I wish. وَلِكِلَيْكُمَا عَلَيَّ مِلْءُهَا. And both of you, it is my responsibility to fill you both. Allah Ta'ala is saying, it's my responsibility to make sure that both of you get full. So Jannah is going to be filled with people and Jahannam is also going to be filled with people. So this famous hadith, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentions, hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, that when Jannah is filled with people, Jahannam is filled with people. Jahannam is going to be filled with people. And then Jahannam will say, is there any more? Is there any more? Hal min mazid. And then Allah Ta'ala will take, Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, Allah Ta'ala will take his qadam. So people in Arabic qadam, English qadam is translated as foot. So scholars of the past have had big disagreements. What does it mean Allah will take his qadam, his foot? The ulama say best thing is to leave it to Allah. Allah knows best what he means by qadam. So Allah will take his qadam because we know Allah has no foot like human beings. We know Allah has no foot like human beings. In the Quran when Allah says about his hand and when he says about eyes, Allah uses these words. So we will say as Muslims that these qualities belong to Allah, but they are nothing like human qualities. Any eye that we can think of is not Allah's eye. Any foot, any hand that we can think of cannot be, you know, attributed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we cannot say Allah ta'ala does not have a ayn, an eye, a yad, a hand, qadam, foot. We cannot say Allah does not have these. But Allah is saying he has these. But what does Allah mean by this? We don't know. And we don't go into asking any questions. Someone says, Allah says he has hand. What does Allah's yad look like? Hand look like? This can lead a person to kufr, disbelief. And it can lead a person into a very dangerous place. So we don't ask any questions. But we believe in these qualities because they have been mentioned in the Quran. So Allah will take his qadam and he will place it on Jahannam. And he will say, stop, stop. And then only Jahannam will stop saying, give me more, give me more. Anyway, so Allah Ta'ala is saying that you are, O Jannah, you are my rahmat, you are my mercy. Through you I show mercy upon whoever I want. And O Jahannam, you are my adab, with you I will punish whoever I want. But the point and the reason why Imam An-Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi has brought this hadith to show the majority of the people of Jahannam are going to be people who have takabbur. People who in the dunya others might have looked up to. In the world others will look up to. And who are they going to be the people of Jannah? Many of these people in the dunya, people disregarded, they looked down upon. They ignored. They thought this person is not worth anything. Iski koi qadar nahi hai, koi haysiyat nahi. The next hadith is mentioned by Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. He mentions Ar Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi sallam said, قَالَ إِنَّهُ لَيَأْتِيَ الرَّجُلُ الْعَظِيمُ السَّمِينُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ لَا يَزِنُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ جَنَاحَ بَعُوضَةٍ. SubhanAllah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi sallam says, this hadith is narrated by both Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim. That a man will be brought in front of Allah Ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. Al-Azimu. Someone who in the dunya, in the world, he is very respectable. Very noble, very honorable. Bahut mu'azzaz, muhtaram dunya ke andar. So this type of person will be brought in front of Allah on the day of Qiyamah. As-Sameen, he will be very fat. He will be very fat, overweight. So in the dunya, he was very respected. Everybody would respect him, look up to him. On the day of Qiyamah, he'll be brought in front of Allah, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لا يزن عند الله جناح بعوضة. In the sight of Allah, he is not even the same as the wing of a mosquito. Machar ke par ke barabar bhi hai insaan nahi hai. Aur dunya ke andar bahut muhtaram, bahut muazzaz tha. Har ek uske samne jhukte the aur usko matlab salam kalam karte the, ehtiram karte the. In the sight of Allah, he is not even equal to the wing of a mosquito. The ulama say, look, Sameen, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, overweight. Because many of these people who are oppressors and who think that they have pride, they put on a lot of weight as well. They expect, I'm going to sit here, I'm going to tell him what to do, I'm going to tell him what to do, I'm going to tell them what to do. They don't move. And when a person doesn't move, they don't do exercise, they put on a lot of weight. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, many times a sign of a person with a lot of kibar and arrogance is that they also physically put on a lot of weight. It's a very dangerous thing, and we need to take this very seriously. It doesn't mean that someone who isn't overweight, skinny, cannot have takabbur. He can also have takabbur. But Rasulullah is saying this is a quality. Allah Ta'ala protect us. Do one more hadith inshallah, and then we'll finish. Again, this hadith is narrated by Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. He mentions that أَنَّ إِمْرَأَةً سَوْدَاءَ كَانَتْ تَقُمُّ الْمَسْجِدَ أَوْ شَابًا. That in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was a black woman, a woman whose complexity was black. She was African or Ethiopian or something. He says it was either a black woman or it was a black youngster, a man. And what this person would do was they would sweep the masjid. كَانَتْ تَقُمُّ الْمَسْجِدِ. They would sweep the masjid. فَفَقَدَهَا. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَفَقَدَهَا أَوْ فَقَدَهُ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم. Basically the narrator of the hadith cannot remember whether it was a young man or a woman. So he says that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam one day couldn't find that person. So he asked, فَسَأَلَ عَنْهَا أَوْ عَنْهُ. So he asked about him or about her. Like I said, the narrator is not sure if it was a man or if it was a woman. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, you know this person who used to sweep the masjid, this African person, this person with black complexion, where have they gone? I haven't seen them. I haven't seen them in a while. فَقَالُوا مَاتَ. The Sahaba radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, they passed away. Whether it was a woman, whether it was a man, they passed away. قَالَ أَفَلَا كُنْتُمْ آذَنْتُمُونِي بِهِ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, why did you not tell me that they passed away? Basically, so, and then the narrator of the hadith, the rawi of the hadith, he mentions, فَكَأَنَّهُمْ صَغَّرُوا أَمْرَهَا أَوْ أَمْرَهُ. It was as if the Sahaba didn't really give this person any haysiyat, any worth, any value. That this person, it's not because the Sahaba had kibar, not at all. But the Sahaba thought, this is some African slave, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what happened in another riwayat, another narration, it mentions that they passed away at night time. That this person had passed away at night time, and Sahaba thought, he's not a really big Sahabi who's passed away. He's just a cleaning person, cleaning lady or cleaning man. So let's not disturb Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah is sleeping. So it wasn't kibar, it wasn't pride that they thought they are better than them. It's just they thought Rasulullah, let him sleep. Out of respect for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, let's not wake him up. It's not anyone major. It's someone very, you know, Rasulullah probably doesn't even know who this person is. So why should we disturb Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ki neend kyun kharab kare? Why should we disturb Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sleep? So this is why. So فَكَأَنَّهُمْ صَغَرُوا. It was as if they made this person very inferior. فَقَالَ دُلُّونِي عَلَىٰ قَبْرِهِ. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, show me where their grave is. Show me where that person's grave is, where they are buried. فَدَلَوْهُ فَصَلَّ عَلَيْهَا. So they showed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that this is where this person is buried. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went there and he did dua for that person. So from the narration, sallah can mean dua, sallah can also mean namaz. According to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi, after the person is now buried and janazah salah has been performed, you can't do another janazah salah. Some ulama mentioned this is the speciality, the khususiyat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That only because it's Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was allowed to perform janazah salah. But otherwise, it's more easily understood if you say salah means dua here. That Rasulullah went and did dua near the person's grave. ثُمَّ قَالَ. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ هَذِهِ الْقُبُورَ مَمْلُوءَةٌ ظُلْمَةً عَلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا. That these graves are filled with darkness. Yeh qabr jo hoti hai, it's filled with andhera, right? Darkness. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى يُنَوِّرُهَا لَهُمْ بِصَلَاتِ عَلَيْهِمْ. And Allah Ta'ala creates a light inside of the qabr when I do dua for the person who is in the qabr. So ulama explained that this is, what is meant by this darkness is, you're under the ground. You're under the ground, obviously there's going to be no light coming in. So a person is in darkness. But so there are two means through which light happens in your grave. Imagine if a person is in a dark room. What's the word in English you feel? Claustrophobia. You're in a tight, dark room. The qabr is so tight. Imagine lying down. If any day you do this, you know, you go into a small little room. Imagine a room like this and you close the door and you stay there for a while. You can't stay there for long. If anyone's been in the boot of a car or anything like this, and you close the, it's like such a small confined place. This is the qabr. This is the experience that people will have in the qabr, in the grave. And a Muslim, for them, because of their good deeds, their good a'mal, Allah will expand the grave. And it will be as far as the eye can see. They won't feel that they are in a small room. For someone who didn't believe in Allah, or for someone whose actions were not good in the dunya, the grave, it's already tight. It will become so much more tighter that their rib cage, Rasulullah said, their ribs will go into each other. This is a dangerous, dangerous situation. So it's a very dark place. So the ulama say that through a person's good deeds, nek amal, a light is created in the qabr. You don't feel like you're in andhera, in darkness. Or either through good deeds or through a pious person, sifarish. Nek logon ki sifarish. Through the intercession of a pious person. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the greatest of all the awliya. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did dua for this person, Allah created nur in their grave. Similarly, if a person passes away, you should always call the pious people. When someone dies, not just family members, call the pious people. Get them to do dua there. Because through their dua, through their barakah, through their piety, Allah will create nur in that qabr. Anyway, the point of this hadith and the reason why Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi brought this chapter is that this woman or this man was someone that people thought was not important at all. They were a Muslim. If they were not Muslim, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would not have gone and done dua for them. They were obviously a Muslim, but the Sahaba didn't think of this person as much. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught them a lesson. Every single Muslim is special in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Never ever think that just because isko koi pehchante nahi, nobody knows this person. Nobody knows who he is. Nobody knows who she is. That this person has any less value in the sight of Allah. This person could be the most valuable in the sight of Allah. Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. The most noble in the sight of Allah are those who have most taqwa. Who can see taqwa? Nobody can see taqwa. Only Allah can see taqwa because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, At-taqwa hahuna. Taqwa is here in the heart. Nobody can see it except Allah. Allah Ta'ala make us all from the muttaqeen and the pious people. Subhanallah, bihamdi, subhanakallah, bihamdika, shudu Allah.